The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the channel. I'm Ron Swanson, this is Paula, and we're here for the Daily Show. And before we jump into our daily topics, Paula, how are you today? Looking fabulous.
I am angry with myself. I dreamt that I was traveling, at the airport traveling, and I had
this isn't a Ronaldo dream, is it?
No. It's Siri. This is about Siri, you know, my boss, my furry daughter. And I put her down on the floor in a busy airport. I don't know why I would do that. And then I couldn't find her. I woke up.
That's a nightmare.
I'm so angry with myself because I was so careless. I know it's a dream, but it's just the carelessness of it all that I would do that to Siri. I would just abandon my little dragon. I don't, you know.
Maybe she went off to an upsetting feeling. She maybe went off to a better life.
No, she's right here. She's right here next to me. She's always next to me. But what a horrible feeling, Ron. I ran the entire airport going up and down, begging people, crying. But it was my fault. I put her on the floor, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, dreams are dreams. It happens. But shockingly enough, not on our list of topics listed, but we're certainly covering it. Is we spoke about Borg yesterday. This is the crown prince of Norway's son. And Marius Borg, I'm going to butcher all these names, I apologize, is released from prison to house arrest at royal residence. So it's interesting that he's been returned to the crime scene, first of all, okay, which is pretty horrendous. But with 34 counts of assault, 2 counts of R, and you can see it up here, I mean, he only got 4 years to begin with. So if he'd been locked up and they threw away the key for 4 years, still wouldn't have been good enough. Okay. But you were saying yesterday you were wanting proof of him going to prison, right?
And yeah, and suddenly it's come out that they want to make it legal that he's out. Let me just put it into perspective for people to understand this. Because it's hard to think of other royal households if you're British. Imagine Tom Parker Bowles, he's the son of Camilla Parker Bowles, right? Imagine he beat his girlfriends and he sexually assaulted 2 other women. Then he goes to trial and he's found guilty not only of that, but 33 other counts. He gets only 4 years imprisonment. Then 1 month after his conviction, he's released to serve domiciliary prison at Clarence House or the palace. This is just to put it into perspective.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And it's setting another precedent for these royals to escape justice for what is just an onslaught of abuse, depending whether or not it's our royals or not. But listen, later this week, we're going to be delving in. I'm working on something where I feel like everyone that was from the Arab Emirates escaped conversation throughout the Epstein files. And we're going to have a look at a lot of things that kind of line up there. But Paula, do you want to take us over anything to do with Borg?
And then interesting. It's interesting because he hasn't served 1 day in jail because he wasn't even at the prison. You know, like he wasn't even in court present to hear his sentencing because he was floundering around with his mom at the hospital. Now, as soon as this is why you suddenly see Håkon and the 2 other kids in the States partying because they got what they wanted and they're mocking the entire system. Because, you know, before, prior to him being convicted, Mette-Marit was going around with that gas tank, oxygen tank, you know, like she's dying. The dog flew all the way from Australia because she was at death's door. You know, Håkon giving interviews. And now Håkon is partying, you know, leading the Viking wave. I mean, I don't understand why people don't. Just, this is a perfect example of a man not having royal titles, not even being of royal blood, but still benefiting from everything just because he is somewhat attached to the royal family. And this goes to show you the power that this has for Harry, for Andrew, for anybody else. Sarah Tyndall, gets to benefit. Do you think that she gets all the contracts, commercial contracts, because of her pretty face? No, it's because of her links to the royal family. I mean, she's done well. She's an Olympic medalist and stuff. But still, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know the crazy thing is, right? Like, before they were famous, this is somebody who, his mother, the lady on the screen here, was emailing Epstein, was a fangirl of Epstein. And her son, the man in question here, old Joffrey, his dad is a serious gangster, right?
Oh, yeah. But he is also a gangster. He just hasn't been convicted or charged. Because if they bust you with 2 kilos of the white powder...
But here's the thing. We kind of speed past this part. I'm going to pull up some information about his dad because I know you're hearing us say criminal, but I don't think it's registering to what level, right? Because he was a serious.
Oh, well, her father is married to a stripper like 40 years younger than he is. One of her half brothers, because they have different fathers and stuff, like one of her half brothers is he beat up a Russian girlfriend he has. Now he's a CEO somewhere, not because he's smart, but because of course they're royal connections, you know. So they're all shady.
Yeah, I mean, here's a picture of way back then of the
Mortenbjerg.
Of the three of them, right?
Mortenburg. And when Norway, Burg, with the O, that like that is an O almost. Mortenburg. What do we say in English? Mortenburg.
Yeah. I'm just.
And they've cleaned up his, they've cleaned up his bio.
Oh, they will have, yeah. 100% they will have.
Well, they cleaned up his bio. You should have seen his bio before. It's a whole list of convictions. I don't know if I still have that picture of his bio, you know, more than, let me see if I can find it for you.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up now. Everyone, there's so much waffle before they get to the part about his dad.
Oh yeah, because they don't, do you know that they don't even put, if you go to Wikipedia and you look for Marius Borg, they don't even put him as the father. Like, you know, in the links where his family is? No, it appears the stepson of Håkon, right? But you have to read below that he's the son of Morten Berg, you know?
Yeah. Hang on, sorry. Well,
who is Morten Berg? I look at the life of Princess Mette, a mighty controversial ex.
Nice one. You bring it up, you do the read it. I'm going to look up something else. And,
This is in 2025, by the way, but you don't hear about this. I'm sharing it.
Nice one. Oh, there's a new thing in here where I can give you control to load up your own stuff. I've just not figured it out yet.
Yeah. But this is, are you showing? This is August 2025, last year. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, sorry. This is Marius Borghoiby. I'm going to go to Mortenburg. He has been marked by several controversies. Let me see if they have it. The state prosecutor, blah, blah, blah. That the eldest brother, yeah, this is Sverre. Look at that. This is the father cleaned up. He has more tattoos than this guy right here. But now his father is under new scrutiny, not only for being Marius's father, but also for his own criminal record. It's true that the incidents date back more than 3 decades and were punished by law, but many believe his son is repeating certain patterns of behavior. By the way, that is absolute false. He has been charged, but he has been kept quiet. He was charged again in 2016, but he was kept under the radar. The police grabbed, the police believe that Morten is the one who's given Marius his old links. So Marius is doing the dirty work for him. You know what I mean? Because they know, and rightly so, that Marius is not going to be arrested, because in 2017 or 2016, he was busted by the police. That's the conversation I told you about, right? Mm-hmm. He was busted by the police. They called him in to talk to him, to warn him that having over a little 2 kilos of white powder was not acceptable. You know, yeah. That he was throwing his life away, that he could slander the royal family. They didn't arrest him. This is back into 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So they know that this man has been trafficking for at least 10 years. That and the police, even in the phone call, you can see that the policeman is telling him, you're using your father's connections. You're hanging around them because the father's using the son, because they know that nobody's going to touch Marius.
Yeah, it's bonkers. And the fact that he's now out, clearly this has got to outrage the whole of Norway. This should be on the front of all the papers, the fact that we've got another royal escaping punishment for being convicted for 34 counts and 2 counts of, you know, the R word.
But listen to this. The father, Morten, remarried this, the daughter of a well-known Lebanese dealer of Persian rugs in Oslo.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? Is at what point are people... this is insanity, Ron, that what we're seeing is insanity for reals. Because people are not outraged enough. They are not. And the press, the thing is, though, that they have control of the press. Just like now they have, King Charles has control of the press. Let me show you this video of people who were at the palace, who broke, not broke, but they used a tour yesterday at Buckingham Palace to protest.
Yeah. Yeah, and but the problem
is, I'm sharing it with you if you want to show it.
It's constantly royal. Yeah, but again, I don't know what this was.
It was there was a tour.
It was a tour that makes sense.
Buckingham Palace, and they brought, and once they were in,
nice.
They unfolded the flags and stuff like
nice.
That.
Nice rascals.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean
so.
It's good that
guess what? Go find an article about this. I dare you.
I tried yesterday. I tried a lot. Because I seen what you'd sent through to me. I played the first little part, but it was playing on my phone. So it was tiny. And I was like, what is this?
The press is complicit. The press, this was 2 days ago at Buckingham Palace. Some people bought the ticket, £75, and they were doing the tour. And because they didn't have any guns, because they do screen you, but it was just cloth, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
They unfolded it when they got to the throne room.
Yeah, I mean, it's a peaceful protest. There's nothing to see here. It's just a bunch of people holding up a factual sheet that I'm sure the royals
are hearing in the press.
Oh, yeah, of course we're not going to hear in the press. Paula, there was something called the Million Mask March in the UK, probably about 10, 12 years ago, and over 1 million people went into London with the Guy Fawkes masks on and black hoodies and were protesting. The lower level of the BBC was smashed. All of the entrances were smashed in. Like, this was a major event. No news coverage, nothing. And it ran for 2 or 3 years, and they didn't want to give any knowledge to it whatsoever. It was crazy.
This is where we are. So when people say, I always say to people that we live in a manufactured reality. People think that we're making choices out of our free will. But if the choices that you're given are made for you, and you just get to choose the one that you think of, this is not being a conspiracy theorist. But if it's not in the news, the certain out things that are in life, we don't get 95% of the real world in the news, because the news now is shaping what we get, what news we receive. So you make your choices based on whatever it is that is put in the mainstream media, which is why we have that issue with YouTube now, and the government, the UK government, asking or demanding to push us only mainstream media on a very free platform. Because what made YouTube different is that we were the crazy ones. Anybody who was on YouTube was considered the crazy conspiracy theorist, right? And because the mainstream media now, their own platforms are dying. Now they're all coming into YouTube. And now the governments are using their weight to literally tell the platform to push the mainstream media agenda because it's not working. And people like us, even if I am a small YouTuber, but you know, when you join all these voices together, when we all get together, it's not one person alone. FYI, if the bus ticket costs £1 and you only have 99 cents, you don't get in the bus. So the whole thing is that we're unity, we're unified. So now YouTube is being invaded by mainstream media backed by the government. So you guys don't get to hear calling us crazy conspiracy theorists didn't work. So now they're going to invade the space and they're going to use their massive platforms and the government influence to ensure that their lies get pushed to the forefront.
Oh yeah, 100%. And we're going to get to that, but we're going to jump over to Anne Whittacombe first, Paula, because there was a video that I watched this morning. It's only 10 minutes long. It's from GB News, right? Now,
Make sure to pause at certain points.
I will. Don't worry. It's not my first time. But the points that he goes into...
I love Patrick Christie.
Honestly, he reminds me of a really enthusiastic toddler, this guy. like he always looks like he's dressed up for school. He's like dressed up for school and really wants to do a really good job.
But right? He does have points.
I just didn't have time this morning to pretend like all of this information was mine and write down the notes that he was saying and then paraphrase it all. So we're just going to go through this because it's not necessarily the man that's talking you need to listen to. It's the factual points he's making about the way that Anne Whittacombe's reporting has been done, who she really was, and some events that took place ahead of her sad unaliving. So instead of, you know, writing stuff down, we're just going to steal content. That's what we're going to do.
There is something very odd with the response to Anne Whittacombe's murder. Her publicity agent announced her death at around 6:30 a.m. on the morning of Friday, July the 10th. Now, it wasn't until 3:44 p.m. that day that the police said that they were now treating it as a murder inquiry and that Anne appeared to have suffered serious head injuries. Police were very quick to tell us that they were looking for a white British man. It's funny how the descriptions come quickly when the suspect is white. Devon and Cornwall police said they would hold...
Obviously, that's the first point, right? We've seen for years now horrific events being taken place. We even seen a children's event where a horrific individual went in and unalived three girls and injured multiple more. And the police were hesitant to release all the information.
No, they were not hesitant. They lied. They said, "Oh, he's from Wales or something like that." They say it's a British from Wales. They didn't say a white one though.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue with this, but it's very, 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 very much the point here of how quickly the race was reported on. That's the first point.
Well, the press conference at about 4:30, they delayed it a bit, and then they announced that they'd arrested a 26-year-old bloke. Now, they were very quick to say that the attack did not appear to be politically motivated or indeed a terrorist incident. Now, there was speculation that the police might be working on the theory that this was a burglary gone wrong. Then the next morning, they released the 26-year-old man and said that he had nothing to do with it. And then they arrested someone else in Rotherham, a 28-year-old man described as a loner and a recluse who lived in his dad's old council house and so rarely ventured out that weeds had started growing on his car. Devon and Cornwall police stated three times, including yesterday afternoon, that they did not believe, currently, that Anne's death was politically motivated or indeed an act of terrorism. But the whole time, counter-terrorism police were just on hand to help. And then today, they announced that they have new evidence to suggest it may actually be terrorism-related, and the individual arrested on suspicion of murder has been rearrested on suspicion of terrorism offences.
I'm so sorry, Ron. Ron's a broke bitch, okay? His premiums ran out, so we just have to just pretend it's not happening, okay? We all just have to sit through this together and pretend it's not happening, okay?
$2.99, Ron. $2.99 a month.
It's 15 bucks a month. YouTube Premium. 15.
I pay $2.99.
Well, you're lying.
No, I'm not.
He must have signed up for it like week one and then just continued to pay your $2.99 a month. That's what it will be. But yeah, it's something Ashley. Anyway, carry on. Let's carry on.
This evening, Shabana Mahmood stood up in Parliament and said the suspect was not known to prevent.
Police now have a suspect in custody, a 28-year-old white British man. And I can confirm to the House that this man was not known to prevent.
Now, I want to make something absolutely clear. This is an active case and everyone is innocent until proven guilty. The individual arrested has not yet been charged with any crime. And it may yet turn out that they had absolutely nothing to do with it. And it is very important to stress that. But there is a broader point here for me. There is now a real sense in Britain that you just can't believe what you're being told by police. Now, we saw it with the Henry Novak murder, where there was every attempt made to portray Henry as a racist aggressor. And yesterday, actually, it emerged that his final words to his murderer were actually, "I'm not a racist." And as we all know, police believed the ethnic minority over the young white lad who had been fatally stabbed.
Also, I just want to point, we are just getting through the fluff at the beginning of this because I forgot to timestamp it as well. That's how inefficient I have been today. So we're just going to sit through this together and we'll get to the end.
We've seen it with cases like Graham Linehan, for example, arrested by armed police at Heathrow Airport, essentially for a thought crime. The police have since had to apologise and pay him damages. In this case, the police were tripping over themselves to tell us that there was nothing to indicate Anne Widdecombe's death may have been terror-related. And now they are working on literally the opposite theory. I must say, I also found the media's response very weird. When news of her alleged murder broke, most news outlets reported it as ex-Tory MP Anne Widdecombe allegedly murdered. Well, yes, okay. Look, she was obviously a former Tory MP, former cabinet minister. But she was also the current immigration and justice spokeswoman for Reform UK. Now, this might not be the best analogy in the world, I'll admit that, but it's the one I'm using. If someone used to be the manager of Arsenal Football Club, but was now the manager of Manchester United, and they were sadly killed, I would expect the national media to report it as Manchester United manager killed, not former Arsenal manager killed. And I kind of wondered why they did that, really. Why did they seem to sit on the fact that she was actually the current Reform Party immigration and justice spokeswoman?
That's kind of wild, right? Because everything has been saying that she's a former this and a former that. It's interesting in the news. And, you know, it's an interesting topic, right? Immigration, especially with Reform UK. It just adds another layer of sus to all of this. And did you know this and how the media was covering it, Paula, before we continue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's bananas. How are we doing, Victoria? Right, let's continue on.
Because for me, the context here is quite interesting. Just days before Anne Widdecombe died, Nigel Farage was very vocal about the level of threats he faced, and he was very angry about what he claims were certain media outlets revealing the location of a family member's house.
I will not tolerate intimidation of my family. I will not tolerate the location of where they live being revealed. I will not tolerate any of my family being endangered because of what I choose to do in public life. So, yes, you can ask, am I angry? Well, I've never been angrier in my life.
And the response from so many people in politics and the media was to say, oh, Nigel's rattled. Oh, he's so rattled. That word, rattled, is doing the rounds at the minute, isn't it? Well, today it emerged that Anne's home was shown on national television just days before her death.
Oh, Jack, your nice garden sweeping away.
Lovely little house.
It's nice, isn't it?
Hello.
Angus.
Hi.
It's incredible.
She was such a legend, by the way, just for being like, for all of the random TV stuff she ever done. She was such a good sport with everything.
I can see why you're living here.
Now, look.
So again, right? It's another layer of weirdness to this whole case when you have the address, or as we know it, the doxing that was on the TV. Of course, Anna gave permission for this, but it echoes what oh my God, what's his name? What's the reform guy's name? Nigel Farage. What Nigel Farage was saying after he received threats after his information was leaked in the media. And for Anne, the spokeswoman for reform on such a controversial topic like immigration, especially in 2026 in the UK, it's really, it's infuriating how this has been misreported on.
That obviously may just be a coincidence. And she obviously consented to having a home out there in public. But in light of the fact that she's now been killed in that home address, is it not reasonable for the likes of Nigel Farage to be a bit worried? And yet still people like Lewis Goodall, they just...
See, this is the problem right here, ain't it? So public manipulation is nothing new. So what, mate? Like, who cares? Should we just let it run on, shall we? Should we just sit here and bend over? Not even a bit of spit on the end of it as we're getting rammed by the government. Is that what you're saying? Because for me, mate, I would rather die on my feet than take a knee, okay? And I'll tell you something. If you're living in the UK and you're sitting all cushy and you don't think it's going to boil over, it is coming, okay? It's coming for your home, my home, and every other damn home in this country. Because when the invaders, okay, rise up. Have you seen what's been taking place at marches and at protests? Have you seen what's been taking place with the football? Have you seen what's been taking place around the world with the individuals coming across from France, sir? That wasn't my point. Okay, well, I apologize. So I'm just saying, public manipulation is nothing new, but we're not going to sit here and literally take it. And again, if that wasn't your point, I apologize. I'm very, very sensitive today. Sensitive boy. Also, I had to mute you, Paula, because it sounded like you were like punching your fist through your keyboard. Sorry, it's because you're using your internal.
I mean, you said that have we seen, but we don't get to see anything because the mainstream media doesn't report on anything that's value. As you said, we've had marches that are like over 1 million, like the Tommy Robinson March, for example, is a case in point. They said it was just a few thousand. Mate, we watched it. People had to actually have drones independently and show it.
Mormon, man. Yeah, apologies, Mormon. Apologies. I obviously didn't catch the first part of what you were saying, but yeah, apologies. But again, I stand by what I'm saying, but I didn't mean to be so aggressive.
Just didn't seem to take those threats that Nigel was talking about seriously. You know, just pick Nigel up on, oh, how can he be the most physically attacked politician of our lifetimes? Other political figures, two other MPs have been killed. In my view, really, they're minimising the threats that he and other reform politicians especially face because the lovey left-wingers just don't like their politics. And I actually think that some people on the left...
And I'll tell you something else. When we heard about the guy, right? He was a loner. His dad passed away. He was vulnerable. He lived in his car had overgrown, all of this stuff. That is the prime blueprint for a vulnerable individual, okay? Now, I'm not saying there's some grand conspiracy where somebody's been programmed to go out and commit a heinous act. I'm not saying that. But we have to look at all of this stacked up on each other. We have to stop playing that all these conversations that we have about mind programming and MK Ultra and how the government can manipulate us and all of this. If we're going to have conversations where we all agree that happens when we're listening to somebody who's a survivor of it, then we have to take the knowledge that we gain from those survivors and actually apply them to situations as they unfold in front of us. Because the minute that we continue with this complacency of, oh, well, it's the government, you know, they're bound to do that or they're never going to do that, we are just facilitating more of this. And yeah, again, I'm not in any way, shape or form saying anything. I'm just saying a lot of things.
Left think they deserve it and maybe even think that they deserve to die. In fact, here is one person on X saying that if Nigel Farage is murdered, or he created the conditions for it to happen, right? And then when Reform lay flowers in memory of Van Whittaker, and they're accused of politicising her death and using it for political gain.
Wow.
You know, they were friends. They were colleagues.
This is evil propaganda, right? This is incredible how this one party has been so heavily targeted with propaganda in the news like this, using it as some sort of for political gain. Oh, hang on. Like, it just blows my mind. Oh my God. Right. So look, I'm just doing this because it's just happened now. Okay. But they just sent me through a new picture of the puppy. And we could all do with a little bit of like adorableness, right? There we go. Look at that guy. Look at the guy. Look at him. Look at him. So we'll just leave him on the screen. He's way nicer. So, but it's this consistent manipulation of the news, right? It's constant manipulation of the news. But when it comes to the world that we're living in now, because exactly what Mormon said, this has always been happening within the news media and all the rest of it. But the problem is the state of the country that we're currently living in, the 2026 Britain, the boats that are coming over, the two-tiered policing, the people that what would we call them? White indigenous folk of the UK, okay? The things that seem to be happening to those people. It seems to be happening on a two-tiered system. It seems to be that our police force have been whittled down to what looked like a bunch of 22-year-olds, okay, who had to spend weeks getting the blue dye out of their hair before they hit the beat. And we're going to get in to how this is only going to get worse, but we're just going to, there's only about a minute of this that we want to cover left, and then we'll go into discussions with Paula.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
They were members of the same political party. For goodness sake. Now, I actually, on a personal level, I actually quite like Dan Hodges from the Mail, but he has posted how, you know, an unnamed member of Van Widdicombe's family was apparently very uneasy about Farage using her death to score political points. And it does just remind me of the time that the left wingers latched onto that one bit of Henry Novak's dad's speech where he said that his son's murder shouldn't be used to stoke division. And they ignored all the other stuff he said about a lack of common sense policing or police not really telling the truth. And they used it to try to shut down all debate and things about anti-white racism and all of this stuff. And we live in a society now, I think, where everyone is allowed to feel things and those feelings must be respected. Even if you wake up one morning as a bloke and you feel like a woman and you want to go into women's bathrooms. But if you're on the right of British politics and you feel threatened, well, it's your own fault. You're just rattled, or those threats aren't even real. And here is Labour MP Natalie Fleet. In fact, she's more than just an MP. I think she's the spokesperson for Home Office Minister, isn't she, as well, dealing with crimes against women as well. But this is after Anne was apparently murdered. You know, Nigel Farage and his gang of bin men get the same security as the rest of us. She's sick of the faux outrage. Well, she's apologised for that, but it doesn't matter, does it?
It's absolutely outrageous. But, I mean, those are the main points that I wanted to talk about. But, Paula, where does this sit with you? When you heard about Anne Whittaker, and has your opinion kind of changed as the case has progressed?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, I don't understand why they're making this all about race in this sense, that this woman went before Parliament, Shabana Mahmood, and she says that white men. Why is she highlighting a race? Why don't they do that? Why don't they stand in Parliament and say the same thing about Ruda Kanu, the man who murdered three little girls and injured others? No.
They don't want to incite hatred.
They don't want to incite hatred, racial hatred. But yes, she's very comfortable doing this against a race. In my opinion, white race is now a minority in the United Kingdom, but that's just my opinion.
No, we're still holding in there. Okay. Holding in there. It's
barely. My point is that she didn't do this with murders of people, for example, with Henry Nowak. In fact, they were quick to point out that we shouldn't be saying Sikh because, no, if you did that, your post got censored. Yeah. But she's comfortable doing that, number one. Number two, I like Anne. I used to showcase her a lot in my videos. You know, I remember there's a famous speech that she gave when she said that nobody has the right to feel insulted about what anybody else says. That's part of being in the public. You know, you don't have a right to be insulted just because somebody criticizes you or calls you out. That's part of the game. You know, you can't go censoring people because you don't like what they have to say.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're not disclosing like you said, that's another, I actually am going to do a video about it because that's a great point, that they're not disclosing what her current job is. They're talking about what she was way back when.
Right.
Because they know that she was probably cracking down on stuff that they didn't want her to crack on. She was probably saying, you know what? All of these policies are rubbish. I'm going to put these things forth.
Keep in mind as well, as far as Reform UK goes, she was one of the most identifiable people throughout UK politics for decades, you know? So she could capture quite an audience when she was, you know, talking because people recognized her, right? Whether they were pro or against or whatever, you know how traction and engagement works on the internet. And it just... I mean, I don't know where I sit with it all.
It's very deceitful. It is very deceitful. It is very deceitful the way that they're portraying her. They want to portray her in the worst possible light. They want to portray that white men are crazy and it's a white man's crime. You know, it's how they're framing. This is all about framing. They don't want to say she was working with immigration, which probably we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It could be a government inside job. You don't know. Because she was, a lot of people in government, this woke government, they didn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. It's just that, what was that other reporter? She was murdered. Jill Dando.
Yep.
Are you telling me that they never found the murderer?
Oh, listen, I've done a whole video on the Jill Dando case. And there's multiple cases from throughout history where open inverted commas, they've arrested the local crazy guy, sentenced him, and then the sentencing has been overturned. One of the cases is actually referred to as the greatest injustice or miscarriage of justice in UK history. John Wedger and I covered it. I can't remember the name of the case, sadly, but it is an episode on one of John and I's crime theory, which is over on my channel. You'll be able to find it. Now, Paula, it's interesting because we're seeing more and more incidents where the police are arresting the wrong people. And I seen a video clip, I don't think I can find it, but it was on one of St. AVS's compilations, and it's a woman at a train station, and a man with like a picket sign, like a wooden picket sign with the paper sign in it, literally comes over and starts beating her around the body and head with this. She tries to defend herself. Eventually, she clocks this guy and knocks him clean out. Like, she catches him right on the chin and he drops, and then she's arrested. This is Britain, baby. This is Britain.
But this is the thing. You know why they make those announcements? When they have no other choice but to change the narrative, because they know that people on the internet are not that stupid and they can't silence that many people. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we're going to have to come out clean, you know, because they're going to know. They have no choice.
Like, I'm not being funny, right? And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I've just typed in Ann Whittacombe into Google. I'm spelling this right, right? Oh, no, I'm not. Okay, okay, okay. That explains why. That was weird, man. I'm sitting here for like the last 5 minutes just trying to find a picture of Ann Whittacombe, and there was none. But I obviously, it's a wrong spelling issue, not the internet issue. There we go. Nicely done. So, yeah, just to remind everyone who we're actually talking about, and just to show her actively working in her current position, Ann Whittacombe. We'll keep you updated when all of this, it's a madness, but it kind of pivots us into our next topic of discussion, right? Which is what is coming for us all in the UK. And this is a completely new reform of how every single social media platform is going to have to conduct themselves. And we're going to go through it. Now, this governor here, what the hell is his name again? Andy Burnham. Is that the, what is that his name?
I don't even know. Yes.
Okay, so this is it. It honestly looks like they've went through different clone variations of Keir Starmer, and this was one. This was like the brown-haired option. That's what I kind of feel like we've got here. And
you know, before we full dive into him, sure. Do you think that they're actually going to find the killer of Ann Whittacombe?
I think they're going to charge somebody, and then you know, something else will happen. But it's interesting, Paula, because I've just realized what you said about Dando there. The whole thing just clicked. It's the exact same MO for this guy.
Exactly.
Sorry, that took a minute, Paula.
For Anne.
Oh, it's the short form content. It has completely erased my intelligence. So yeah, exactly. And we just need to wait and see.
It's the same blueprint. It's the same blueprint of the Jill Dando's murder.
That's it, exactly. Sorry, I didn't catch that the first time you said it. But yeah, it's true. It is the same blueprint, and we've seen it repeated so many times. And it's always repeated. It's either, when John and I have been presenting this, it's either in a case that involves a brutal discovery of a child's body, or a famous news reporter, political, police, any of that genre where it reeks of, we've got more of a under the table reason to be taking you out the game, if that makes sense.
No, I agree. But with Anne, I mean, the fact that it looks so chaotic, the way they portray things is so chaotic, you know, so in order to mislead somebody, it's so chaotic. I don't understand. In the UK, you have CCTV everywhere. Are you telling me there's no CCTV of anybody going into Anne's house? I am sure that the street where she lives, they have CCTV cameras.
It depends how rural, right? Because it looked like she was on like a little estate or something like that. So possibly not, based off of what I know rural, the UK. You're lucky, Paula, in some places, if there's street lights and two lanes on the road in the country. Some of it is like, it's a madness. But surely she's not going to be the only person with money, and surely she'll have been down Aldi one day and seen like Ring cams on sale, you know what I'm saying? So it would make sense that there is something, because of the period we live in, right?
You know what would be interesting is to find out what she was working on reforming within immigration. That would be very interesting, because if you find out what she was working on to reform inside the immigration policies, then you might actually get to the bottom and find a motive as to why somebody would want to off her.
She said 5 weeks ago she had 5 cameras in her home. It was reported. Damn.
There you go. Are you telling me that there's no footage of anything?
Yeah, this is going to get messy.
But is there any way to find out what her stance was on immigration? What she was working on? Not what she was like 20 years ago. What was she working on right now? What were the moves that she was making towards immigration reform?
I'm looking right now, Paula. I'm looking right now.
Did you find out? Because that'll give us a motive of as to why. Because this lady, believe it or not, even though she was much older, she had a huge young following. People really liked her because of her no-nonsense approach to thing. And people are fed up of being woke. But we know that there's a lot of people in Parliament who don't like that.
Yeah, she's got that like really cool grand vibe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Anne Whittacombe was the immigration and justice spokesperson for Reform UK from 2023. So for years, she's been doing this. It's like a new job.
It's like a three-year job.
But still, I mean, that's still years, right? I mean, it's long enough that you don't refer back to her previous job. You
know, this is not like she was appointed 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. She's been at this role. It's like if you're now, okay, like you said, let's talk about this. Imagine you used to work for McDonald's and now you are the CEO of McDonald's and now you're the CEO for Burger King. Do you think people are going to refer to you? Oh, he's the CEO, former CEO of McDonald's. No, Burger King will want you to call them and say, no, he's our CEO right now.
Okay, well, here was her key areas of focus, right? As immigration and justice spokesperson for Reform UK, Anne Whittacombe was involved in several critical issues. Immigration policy, advocated for reforms, immigration laws and practices. The justice system, worked on policies aimed at improving the justice system, including law enforcement and the legal process. Both of which are under massive scrutiny at the moment with our current government.
What exactly? They're keeping it very general. What exactly? What? Because this lady was very specific. She was very vocal about things. So, you know, that's like general. That's what pretty much everybody works on. Oh, if you are appointed a reform immigration person, I'm going to work on reform and immigration. But what exactly? What was it that she ran on?
Okay, well, so I'm bringing up what she advocated for, basically, but they won't get any results.
Says asylum, she was not a fan.
And when it comes to role in immigration and justice, both from the UK, emphasised the party's stance that the high net migration contributions to housing and affordability and strains on public service. She urged that addressing immigration is crucial for improving the economic. And so it's interesting that she was very much about, you know, we're heading down a road of that we're never coming back from.
Yeah, she was. Let me see, Anne Whittacombe, because. You type on Whittacombe views on asylum. I'll tell you what it shows up. She strongly advocated for a policy of universal detention for all asylum seekers arriving in the UK, proposing it as the only viable method to maintain control and provide a strict deterrent. Safe third country deportations. Whittacombe was a vocal supporter of deporting asylum seekers to safe third countries. To deter illegal crossings across the English Channel. Distrust of channel crossings. She frequently questioned the validity of asylum claims made by individuals arriving via small boats, arguing that genuine refugees fleeing danger would seek refuge in the first safe country they reached. Concerns about disappearance and abuse of the system. She argued that the U.S. lack of national identity cards and flourishing underground economy made it the easiest country in the world in which to disappear.
Yeah.
And not only that, she also, okay, it gets worse. She also believed that people in the United Kingdom, any asylum seeker or any person who was not documented, who was caught and detained in a crime, should be deported immediately without trial. Simply deported back to the country where they came from. And boats should be stopped and not allowed in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a couple of things I want to show everyone because Ron loves visuals. Okay. So I'm just going to chuck up on here. Hang on, I think this might be a COVID thing. Give me 1 second. Anyway, it's amazing how many countries the UK citizen is advised to not travel to, right? Because they think it's too dangerous for us. They believe that the people there may not welcome us being there. And then how many of these countries, citizens are being welcomed straight into the UK, all right? And I'm going to show you something here in a second.
You know what she did? I don't know if you heard. This is actually quite interesting. This is the article I was looking. Article is like 25 years old. So she's not new at trying. This is her trying to cross to the French because she has been for 25 years ago. She'd been battling the asylum. This is how long this woman has been at it. So I guess that when she finally got to sink her teeth into this, it was a big deal. She tried to make a cross to the French channel, across the French to France, right? to demonstrate how easy it was for them to get across the channel to France. Well, the French found out about it and stopped it. The visit was canceled. Yeah. They said they didn't know who she was. And then they said, oh, well, she had a bunch of cameras. So she used the cameras to showcase how easy. This is 25 years ago when she was warning of the dangers of people using boats to come to the UK or France.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it's kind of bananas. I found a couple of these clips that have been going viral right now. And there's two that I want to show you. And again, this is not my compilation. I'm going to get some Discord rooms posted so you guys can actually post clips that you find on TikTok and things. But when we talk about cultural integration, right, we're going to hear a man plead his case, okay? And I want you to all listen to the pleading of this man and his case and ask yourself, is this what we want in this country?
Wait, what? Really? They're doing it to young boys as well?
Average Sunday here in London. This guy trying to kiss little boys over here.
He's a fucking barber.
This guy's trying to kiss little boys in McDonald's over here. Can you believe that?
Don't worry, guys. He's going to explain himself.
In Albania, the
teeth
of hand is a respect.
We're racists again, Paula. We never realized once again. It was sorry to Albania. Again, we're racist, clearly, because, you know, your culture that you're arguing for of going up and kissing little boys doesn't exist here. It doesn't exist here. I'm just saying. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue, Paula, and we'll see how this vicious white racist supremacist handles this. Cultural inappropriation or satin.
Don't kiss little kids, bro. What the fuck?
Sorry, I apologize.
Don't kiss kids, you fucking weirdo.
I don't know what they done his t-shirt or what has happened to this man, but I'm assuming he was wearing this ahead of time.
You fucking creep. Get out of here.
Fuck off.
Madness. This is the norm, right? And it just...
People are normalizing, but this is what they're normalizing. This is what the mainstream media wants to normalize, degenerates online. Mm-hmm. They want to normalize. You know, Lauren Insider flew to Spain, right? She flew with her two little girls, two-year-old. Her two-year-old was popped down. The poor little girl was crying. Yeah, but no, if you are a guy, a black guy from the Congo with 10 knives, go ahead, sir. But a two-year-old was popped down.
At the airport.
Yes. Lauren made a clip of it. She said she was carrying her daughter. She made a clip of it. And she's like, my daughter has just been literally popped down.
That is outrageous. That is outrageous.
Yep. Outrageous. She was popped down.
Right. So this is another clip that's going viral, Paula. And this is a very, very nice part of London, I do believe. Okay.
It's not. Where is it?
There's trees growing outside. Okay. Okay. Like this is nice part of London. So what you're about to see is these two gentlemen that are on this electronic motorcycle push bike, and the two gentlemen in the car get into a confrontation. Okay. We've all seen road rage before, right? This is machete rage.
That are completely incompatible, that have just criminalized. So,
oh, please stop it. Oh my, they got fucking knives.
Not machetes,
they're machetes, yeah.
Welcome to Britain, guys. Welcome to England. This is the shit that we put up with day in and day out. Look at what we've
done. What is that white boy doing? That white boy thinks he's actually going to do something.
Look at the state of it. He's fucking bleeding.
This guy got chopped in the head as he was getting out of the car. I kind of skipped past it.
He's hit around the end. He's going to get back in. This is absolutely outrageous.
It's madness. It is absolute madness that this is becoming the norm. And
I used to live in Richmond, London, outside of, it's a nice part of London, a little bit outside of London, Richmond, in Richmond Hill. And it's, I looked at, somebody was posting videos of like shorts of people literally, this is High Street, Richmond Hill, where I used to live. This is a very nice area, right? there were two Lebanese or what, I don't know what they're called, that from Saudi Arabia or whatever, literally punching each other outside of a very posh store that I used to like. And it's like people walk by like it's normal. I want to show you this. I know it's quickly, but I just want to show you Lauren's clip of her.
Oh, yeah, show us Lauren's clip, 100%. Yeah. Picture of Lauren now.
I'm showing it to you. Do you have it there? I'm going to show it to you. This is Lauren, okay?
Heathrow, yeah. Gone through security. My two-year-old in tears because she was frisked by two security guards who were, yes, doing their job. It's not their fault. But the irony that the security to get out the country is very thorough. But we are being invaded by
What a good point.
Males.
What a good point, Lauren.
Fighting age. So this is the absolute insanity that is England and the UK. We've got the Taliban in the country. We have millionaire migrant people smugglers who are claiming asylum and our tax money's paying for it. Keep working hard, folks. Someone's got to pay for this absolute disaster to be funded.
Well said.
Two men papped a two-year-old. I mean, do you really need two men to pap a two-year-old, to frisk a two-year-old?
Yeah, that's wild. That really is wild. And again, this is Britain, and we're going to show a little clip of New York now. This is
Tommy.
This is the train clip I was talking about. It's actually from New York.
EI, anti-white police training.
Also, if you don't know Sane AVS, I'll post his channel. If you're in all of this stuff, he covers it well.
As the UK, you know the amount of situations in the UK. Yeah, madness. I was shocked when I saw this, honestly.
Look at this woman here. This guy's beating her. Straight to jail. So it's interesting, right? America as a whole, but New York is cooked. New York is absolutely cooked. And oh, there's a little advert there that we're just all gonna have to sit through because that's what it is. There we go. This is New York, man. I mean, this might be AI. I'm not gonna lie. Give me a second. Yeah, there's a lot of madness going on in New York. I don't think it is AI. I think this is real. I think everyone's freaking out about this because it is real. But Sneeko, a YouTuber, this is his face right here. He has been all over the internet going viral again for stepping up for the jihad. You know, he has been making it vocal that Islam is going to be taking over America. They are coming for all of you. This is a very popular streamer, I might add. And this is the guy that sat with Kanye West when Piers Morgan tried to interview Kanye West just to show where he is in being able to get an audience. And he's been getting called out all week. It's been shocking. Of course, we showed the footage of HS Tiki Toki's housemate who was offering to pay a child for you know what when they were abroad, and that was filmed and that went viral. We seem to be seeing the masks starting to slip a little bit now on the public faces that align with this type of culture. And I just want to make something clear. For me personally, I don't know how everybody else feels, this is not a race issue, right? This is a culture and religious situation that is creating illegal migrants who are part of terrorist organizations coming to my country, preparing to try and tipple the downfall of society. That's what's happening. Okay. I don't know what anyone else thinks is going on. I don't know if you're part of the white people of this country and the legal people of this country and the non-white people of this country, the regular British folk of this country. All of us, you must be disgusted at the level of incompetence of this government. But not only that, all of the people who were outside the EU who've emigrated to the UK legally must be raging right? Because it's not an easy process, right?
Oh, there's huge lines. When you fly into London, there's huge lineups for you to get in. Right. People legally. But then all you have to do, you know, it's much easier just to get on a boat.
So when you start hearing people talk about all human life is equal, I completely agree. I agree, Paula. But cultures, we can pretty much do an hierarchy of where some cultures sit, okay? And I'm thinking, if your culture is still at the point where kissing boys, marrying children, and women are beaten and beheaded and all of this kind of stuff, I'm thinking civilized society is way up here. Barbarianism is like way down here.
Yeah.
Okay? And if something doesn't align, why in God's name are we sitting back and allowing every single thing that our forefathers died to give us? Okay, that was the non-civil part of our society. Okay, and all of this talk about colonization and all of that, mate, that's just the historical equivalent of catch me outside. I'm really, really sorry about this, but history likes to be rewritten by the left. They like to spew out wonderful little sound bites, and then when you try and question them on it, they fold. But when you look at history, and when you look at the injustices that happen to certain nations, certain races, the history of all of this is very different than the one that is being pushed to us all and rammed down our throats. I'm sick of this. I am sick of this suicidal empathy that runs so deep through everyone in this country. And it's embarrassing at this point. We are the wet wipe generation of Britain. And is it our fault? Very much so. Okay. Would this be happening 500 years ago, 200 years ago? No, it would not. No, it would not. The empathy is killing us. Okay. Because our systems have been put in place where, for some reason, the government just assumed that the world knew that there was a massive don't be a dick unwritten rule that we're all to abide by. Don't come here under false pretenses. Don't lie. Don't be a burden to society. Do not perform terrorist attacks. Do not touch children. Do not R women. You see where I'm going with this?
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
This.
And now people are talking about the murderer. There's some of Anne Wycombe. They're talking some suspicions that it's all set up because they managed to get a hold of the guy's name and in the car after he allegedly took the car to drive to see Anne. And it's insanity. I mean, Matthew Steeples just sent it to me, you know, because he's, let me show you here. Matthew Steeples has the wheel spoke fence lineup is identical in pictures from both. I'm going to show you here because they're trying to show this is the news. Literally, guys, this is the news when they try to lie to us. This is Matthew Steeples. This is directly from Matthew Steeples. I'm sharing this with you because they're talking about the car, how did the guy that they're accusing reach Anne's house, right? So this is Matthew Steeples talking about it. He says, the wheel spoke fence lineup is identical in pictures from both days. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but did this quick mucky motor actually move? Equally, where is the CCTC of the supposed council house from this angle? Who gave this footage to the media and why? Because this is, now they're using this, you know, like, it's exactly, the car hasn't moved.
I don't know. Someone's going to have to test this. If you've got fancy wheels on your car, take a
before. No, it's not that. It's the position. It's the position that the car didn't move from the same position.
I get that. I get that, right? But it's still not enough. It's very sus. It's very sus.
You know, we're going to have to see, because this is going to be another.
I'm agreeing with you, Paul. It's really, really suspicious. But again, it's weird. It's like, I need a little bit more, but
oh yeah,
it's very weird. Very weird. Well, look, listen, I want to just get to our last topic, right? Which we've kind of been chatting about, but I'm just going to read through this. And this is legitimate. Okay. The UK government is considering reforms that will require major social media platforms, every social media platform, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever, to give greater prominence to content recognized as trusted or from public service broadcasters. They literally put the shim sham round trusted, Paula, just so you know. Trusted. BBC ITV Channel 4, it is stated to aim to make reliable news easier to find and combat misinformation, particularly during emergencies and major public events. What YouTube creators are worried about, no one cares. In ties to the Online Safety Act. Okay, at the same time, Ofcom is rolling out additional Online Safety Act requirements, which include stronger moderation requirements, child safety protocols, age assurance verification, obligations around illegal content, protections for recognized journalistic content, compliant appeals system. And listen, basically, in a nutshell, what this is the Propaganda Act, where now all of the major platforms, YouTube, wherever it is you watch your content, they will now have to showcase pre-selected creators and pre-selected major news outlets, so that you, the people, don't have to worry about crazies like Paula and Ron trying to inform you of things, okay? Because why would you want to know all about what Anne Whittacombe previously did? We don't want to know about that. We want to know about things that can make the narrative fit what the government's saying, right, Paula? That's what helps us sleep at night. Do you know what I'm saying? Obey, consume. Do you know what I'm saying? So what is coming is the legitimate era that is the era before what happened in V for Vendetta, okay? Like, if you've never seen the movie V for Vendetta.
I have.
Oh, yeah, it's all about a government that releases a virus, okay, that kills a bunch of people, and then they come and save us from it, okay? And then before you know it, all religions banned, music's banned, being gays banned, lesbians, no, forget about it, lesbians, you're out of here, okay? All of it banned.
Diesel Dykes.
Yeah, listen, I'm okay with the lesbian. I'm okay with the gays. I'm okay with any adult, right, who lives their adult life consensually doing whatever the fuck they want. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Yeah, I just throw you off. But it's weird, right? Because I don't understand the discussion still in 2026 about any, like, I just don't get it. It's like, what? Why do people care so much about what people are doing in the bedroom with another adult? It just,
well, because they lift. Oh, wait a minute. I'm gonna have to clap back there, because they have given it legislation that favors them, other than women and men. Why? Oh. This is like you saying on your religious basis, you get to enjoy certain privileges. When I introduce myself to somebody, I don't go, by the way, I'm hetero. I'm a Catholic. No, you don't.
I'm going to
legislation that. Giving you more rights than me.
Are you talking about trans people? I was just talking about. Yes. Like, oh yeah, no, I was talking about just the regular gays and lesbians. But you know, listen, trans people too. Like, I've got friends who have transitioned as an adult and live a normal adult life, and they are happy go lucky. But there has definitely been a wave of mental health madness after COVID that is just beginning to unravel now. Like, it is wild. And you know what's really interesting? It sounds really, really messed up, but I've seen so many interviews of people who transitioned over that period and are now detransitioning, and the horror stories about how the medical institute kind of pushed them into it and all of that. And I kind of feel like if they just went on Twitter and taken a look at people's opinion on this, you might have got a little bit of an inside knowledge that you're might want to get some sadness pills or go and speak to a therapist, because
also I find that doctors are dishonest and they don't tell them the realities of the procedure.
Sure, sure. There's that horrible side too. But I just see a lot of adults making a lot of decisions in the adult world. That's what I see. And I'm real sorry it hasn't worked out for some people. I'm really, really sorry. I feel
it's like people say, you know, when you say, oh, I want to have a baby, but you just imagine the cozy baby, but you don't think the day-to-day realities, the financial things. In this case, we're talking medical horrors that they have because you're mutilating your body.
Listen, I'm fully on the side of these poor people who've transitioned that were victims of being pulled in by the medical system or whatever. Again, still adults making decisions for themselves. I'm just saying, it's a horrible but they're making
ill-informed decisions. That's the problem. If you're not told the exact truth of what's going to happen to your body, that's an ill-informed decision. If they withhold anything to you, that's an ill-informed decision. And if you're not mentally there, if you're just barely confused, and the doctors guide you to be more confused choices that when you're not fully informed, that should be criminally liable. That somebody, if a doctor is doing that, they should put that asshole in jail.
It seems to me like America could do with some free mental health to avoid there being this absolute plethora of vulnerable individuals who are being sucked in by this. Because you know the
something wrong. I've noticed that because I travel the world and because of my work, you never see mental health issues in third world countries where people are just barely struggling to eat. And the next thing they want to do is to secure a meal, the next meal. And these people are in the most abject poverty, living in the worst possible things. But I find that a lot of the times it's first world problems, you know, that you don't get the latest phone. My mom didn't buy me the latest iPhone. Mental health. Yes, there are some issues.
Definitely. It's different levels of mental health, and it's also 100% it's going to exist there. It's just life's different, man. Like, it's hard to imagine.
You have to think of your next meal, and you can't afford the luxury of thinking, I have a mental health issue.
Oh, do I get exactly what your point is? My ADHD is just splitting all the hairs, which I'm trying to avoid, you know, wasting.
No, because I lived it. I lived it with you know, where I worked. I have a refuge for girls. That, I mean, one of the girls, one of the houses that I built a whole house and they get a room. But, you know, she had never had a bed. And when I gave her just a little cubicle with her own little bed, with a little closet and a mirror, and she goes and lies on the floor to sleep. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is your bed. And she's like, she couldn't believe that she was going to sleep in a bed that she had like a 2 meter by 3 meter. That was her space. She couldn't believe it. This is a girl that's 14 years old. A lot of things that happened to him on the streets. She didn't have time. She was just grateful. And now she's really doing well. She's studying. She's never had any mental psychologist or anything. She's just getting on with life, you know?
I'm agreeing with you, but only for the short form discussion format of your point. We could definitely unpack that, and it would be a needless conversation because it's just me rambling.
I have a psychiatrist, a psychologist friend of mine that I do, she's incredible. And she can break it down for you, the difference between what are real mental health issues in the first world, and why people in the third world, they don't get those things, you know?
Obviously, because they don't have this, it's a different set of issues. Mental health in modern society is the impact of your surroundings and the people, your situation, the environment and culture. And all of those things differ once you hit the third world.
You know, I got to tell you something, Ron. When I was growing up, maybe it's my upbringing, but, you know, as my parents, as a child, you're told what to do. So as a child, you don't develop mental health issues because you're told what to do. You don't have to guess. Nowadays, parents, they have to discuss with you. How can you discuss with a 40-year-old what he wants to do? You know, like,
right.
You're the child. you guide the child. This is how you, in my humble opinion, you avoid these mental health issues because you're telling, you're guiding your child. You're taking on that responsibility. Nowadays, parents don't want to have that responsibility. I'm going to consult with you. I'm going to consult with my kid. No, 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 no. There's no consultation. I remember when I was growing up and with my son, the same thing. Why do I have to? Because I'm your mom and I told you so. That ended every discussion. Nowadays, it's like they're going to talk to him and we don't say the word no because it's traumatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's madness. So just to sort of close on the point of the government and the narrative stuff and the social media platforms, this is going to be honestly, Paula, this is,
there's no confusions in my household. I can tell you that, Ron.
I didn't think there was. So like the
right city,
what the number one currency, okay, in the world right now is attention. That's it. That is the highest value commodity in the world. And if you control the majority of the attention and you control the narrative that is now being consumed by those people, you control the minds of those people. Okay. And people are going to stare at their phones and they're going to consume and they're going to doom scroll and they're going to stare and they're going to stare. It's when you're sat just going doom scrolling on your phone. Scroll through Instagram or whatever. It is a plague on us all. So when you have this control of attention and then the fabrication of reality and narrative, it leads to population control, it leads to more division, and it ultimately leads to a vast majority of people consuming a false narrative. And it's a very, very scary road we're going down. Because I'm going to tell you this now. The British people tend to go a bit mad when they try and mess with things like the NHS. Okay? Like, there's certain things that will push people over the edge. And I think they're playing this very carefully. We've seen how the Child Safety Act came into play, or the Online Child Safety Act, after those girls were killed. Paula mentioned, what was the guy's name? The guy that went to prison?
Bana. I don't like to pronounce his name correctly because he's an asshole.
Yeah. So they brought in the online.
They were shocked. I mean, you know how deceptive
the. Hang on. Let me finish my point. So they brought in the Online Safety Act. And since that day, 1,000 people a day have been arrested. 1,000 people a week, sorry, have been put in prison in the UK for tweets.
Yeah.
Like, arrests and convictions, it's ridiculous. And that is under the Child Safety Act. But it's all people that have come over on boats or of different faiths who are becoming offended. And the rule says if you say or do anything online that causes offense, it's a criminal offense for you to do so.
You know, that Radu Cabana, keep in mind that the mainstream media dances at the tune of the government. So they were pushing the narrative that he was a choir boy from Wales, if I remember correctly. Yeah. That was the actual narrative that they were putting out. He's a choir boy from Wales. Release the fucking ethnicity and show this monster.
Well, do you remember when they released the photos of him when he was like 4 years younger?
I know.
Like all clean cut. And then you've seen him and he looked like that crazy guy from The Simpsons that tried to murder Bart. Mad back in hair. It was bonkers, man. It was bonkers. But look, you need to pay attention to all of this. And I want to give you one more visual. Okay. I made this for my mom when I was showing my mom something the other day. And I think it is.
Don't you have patience with me? By the way, guys, I have to make a very public announcement. Ron doesn't have patience with me when teaching me technology. He loses his rag very quickly.
Is that it? Was that all you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's like I'm asking him questions and he goes, Paula, I can sense the frustration when he writes to me, Paula, you have to touch his butt.
Wow, that was Sideshow Bob. Yeah, that was the most brutal outing.
I've held my chest for a long time.
So when we hear about our government, Paula, right, and we hear about money, right, they've done a very clever trick here, right? Because if I say to you 100 and 1,000, 1,000 sounds very different from 100, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It does. But then we get into this weird world of million, billion, and trillion. Okay? which could be the same word being said by a slightly drunker person. Let's be honest, okay? And I want to show you what $1 million looks like. So when the government says, oh, we've spent $1 million, this is what it looks like. It looks like a pallet. And I just want to say these are all 100-pound notes, okay? So it's about 80 centimeters tall, little tiny pallet. When they say they've spent $1 billion, this is what $1 billion looks like.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is £1 billion on pallets. This is £1 million. This is £1 trillion.
Holy crap.
This is £1 trillion on pallets. So when you hear that France has received 3.5 billion from the UK to help the boats not come over to the UK.
Why?
This is how much money, okay? 3.5 of these. Oh, no, wait, no. Wait, three,
you know
what's
so funny? Just, you know what, Ron? We're going to... No, wait. This is before I forget. They should pay us, you and I, they should buy us 2 or 3 boats and give us the money, and we're going to stop the boats from coming in. That's cheaper.
Yeah, it was billion, not trillion, sorry. It wasn't 3.5 trillion to France, it's 3.5 billion. So 3.5 of these. But did they not lose $2.5 billion out of the treasury in America? Look it up, Americans. Apparently, in cash that vanished from the U.S. treasury was close to like $3 trillion or $2.5 trillion. Look at how much money. It might have been billion again, actually. It might have been billion again. But look at how much money $1 billion is. So, yeah.
They should, because you know what? They should give us, people in the chat, how many of you would take on a job if they tell us they're going to give us each a boat so we can go to that channel and basically stop the other boats from coming? If they give us authority, that's cheaper. And we just, you know, we'll charge you just $1 million per boat that okay, we turn away. Any of you in the chat would take that job. I take it. I'd be on a plane right now.
Just to put it in perspective, I'm going to give you one more little example, right? If you were to take, Paula, 1 million seconds, okay? Mm-hmm. That would equivalent to 11.5 days, okay? 1 trillion seconds.
Sorry, how many is 1 billion seconds? How many days is that?
For 1 million is 11.5 days. For a billion, how many days do you think for 1 billion?
It would be, if it's 11, we're looking 11 years?
It is 11. It's 11,574 days for 1 billion seconds. Now, a trillion seconds is 31,700 years.
Wow.
So when you look at the difference between 1 million and 1 trillion and 1 billion, and you're hearing all of our world leaders and all of this talking about millions and billions, this is the absolute madness of the difference between 1 million and 1 billion. But they make them sound the same so that when you're hearing people talk about this, you're not actually, a billion can't be that much more than 1 million, right? Our brains just don't get it. But when you see it laid out on pallets, it's madness, absolute madness. So there you go. So basically, the government, super cool, super cool. Everything's great, super cool. Just be very vigilant. What is coming to fruition in the UK is terrifying. And if anyone thinks that the majority of the people here are going to lie and roll over and take it, you're very, 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 very wrong. And the very, very sad thing, okay, is it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better.
Absolutely. No, but well, it depends. You know what it is, though, Ron? I find that people or the elites are great at making people like us feel that we have no options.
Mm-hmm.
Case. And I'm going to try and find that that cartoon, because that was a brilliant representation of what life really is. Then you have like a bunch of people they're holding this huge platform, and like 6 or 7 people are sitting on big chairs, right? But then the cartoon shows that some people at the bottom start to leave, and then you see that platform starts to crumble. But while you're under the platform, you don't see that you have that power. And this is why this is my whole heart belief that the part that you guys as our subscribers have to make is watch us and not watch these people, report them, call them out, because what they're doing now is because they can't beat us. And YouTube was getting too big, was getting too credible. So they come to YouTube to spew their lies. And, you know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing, but not really. I don't think they're joining YouTube. I think they're infiltrating YouTube using their massive platforms and government influence. So you, as the subscribers, you have that power by looking at our channels, but not looking at theirs. And that's how you send the message as to what you watch, because otherwise you're watching the same lies that they couldn't. This is why they are failing in the mainstream media. So they're coming to YouTube.
Oh, it's not that they're failing, right? It's that it's almost like they are failing. There is 100, everything you're saying is right. But there's also a huge percentage, Paula, that never looked at mainstream media to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? So when
I don't get my news in mainstream media, I go to YouTube straight or X.
No, I get you. But the younger folk, right? They've grown up with just consuming things off social media. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see the effect on the ones who are the passive users, the ones who don't care about any of this, and are the ones that are going to be passively affected by this shift. It's going to be wild. It really is.
And people have to be vigilant. You know, one of the things that I find that the narrative is shifting, Ron, in regards to people standing up more, even if the mainstream media, they don't want to show the marches or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But people, independent media, people on X, people on YouTube is more censored, but even people on X are literally putting, you know, using drones to, when the mainstream media fails to showcase a demonstration, they show it. The mainstream media didn't want to portray the gentleman walking into Buckingham Palace tour and putting that banner there. We are. And you know what? That's where you have to watch. And when you see something like that, guys, please do share it, reshare it, because that's how you spread the news.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to set up a couple of channels on my Discord. One will be for UK stuff. One will be for US stuff. And any TikToks, anything you see going viral, so that we can start going through it together and Ron doesn't have to steal other people's compilations. That would be sick. But listen, Paula, if we're at the end of our show, 2 days in a row, Paula, we're back again tomorrow. I don't know what we're talking about yet, but
I have some ideas. There's some breaking news that I just saw, Nick. I'll send it to you so you can research them too.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And listen, thank you. We'll see you all tomorrow. In fact, I'll see you guys tonight. What time am I seeing you all tonight? 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock. Yes, 8 o'clock after Kevin A with Sean. I'm live with Robert Alvarez, a 16-year-old lifer from Mexico who ended up in the Mexican mafia. It's going to be a wild one. Come and check it out. Good old back to basic Sean Atwood true crime goodness. And then we've got 3 shows on Wednesday. Paul and I have the Daily Show. Then we've got a show with Babs. And then we've got Beyond Antarctica, the secret behind 150,000 missing children. So it's a whole week of awesomeness. So look, thank you all for being here. Thank you to Paula. Awesome as always. Fabulous. And we'll see you all then. Take it easy. Peace.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's #1 prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.